Good evening. Wow, everyone is awake today. Very good. How many of you regularly come here on Sunday? Can I see your hands? Wow, so many. How many of you not so regular, but tonight someone invited you here? Can I see your hand? Wow, very good. The rest of you not here, huh? How about we welcome those who are here for the first time or visitors in our midst? How about we welcome them this evening? Shall we welcome them? Thank you for the privilege of being here. I think you had a wonderful program. The choir led in a wonderful time of reading scripture and singing hymns about Christmas. Christmas is the season of joyful celebration. So I bring you warm greetings from our church. Tomorrow we have services 9 and 11. So tonight I can be here. But there's nothing like the evening atmosphere to depict some of the passages of scripture, one of which we will look at this evening. Singapore celebrates Christmas so many ways, right? There's shopping, then there's food. There's lights, then there's food. There's a Christmas tree, then there's food. There are sales, and there's food. There's holiday, and then there's food. And then there's shopping, and then did I say there's food already? I did, because there's so much food that I've been eating a lot that I asked not to wear my tie this evening because it's rather tight around here. This year in Singapore, there's something else. Besides food, there's something special. There's Disneyland. No need to go to America. Orchard Road is full of Disney's magical moments. You say, Pastor, why Disney theme? I don't know. Don't ask me. If anyone knows the answer, please let me know. That's how society typically views Christmas. Mickey Mouse. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Mickey Mouse or eating or shopping or anything that I've said is evil. That's not the real meaning of Christmas. The truth is that there can be no Christmas without Christ. This is what Christmas is really about. When we remember the name, Jesus Christ, He is the reason for the season. The name Jesus Christ in Christmas is important. Every name has a meaning. When I was 19, I had to start what they call the Trim and Fit Club. I was in the army serving my national service. There were not enough PE teachers. So they pulled out 16 of us, posted us to secondary schools to start this Trim and Fit Club. You know what the Trim and Fit Club is, right? The initials spelled backwards. F-A-T. Yeah? It's where the chubbies and the fatties, they go to lose weight. Yeah, I mean, what a name for a club. I was in charge of the fat club, I mean the tough club. And if you ask me today, I probably have to attend the tough club myself. There was this girl from Sec 5, the school that I went to had 5 levels in the secondary school. And she also had to join the tough club. And you know what her name was? Ng Yuan Yuan. Yuan Yuan means round in Chinese. Huh? So every time I took the attendance for tough club, I was like, okay, stop it, don't laugh. Now, is anyone here named Yuan or Yuan something? Please don't get upset. I'm not here targeting at you. I'm not targeting anyone who is, like me, a little bit chubby. Don't misunderstand. The point is that names are important. They have meaning. My two sons are with me tonight. Their names are Nathan and Jariah. Both names have meanings. When they were born, we announced their names to our family and friends. In many cultures, new parents today, we do that when the baby is born. At Christmas time, we announce a special baby. It is a special baby with a special name. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior. Christ means promised chosen one. Jesus Christ is the promised chosen Savior. The first Christmas on the day the special baby was born was not announced by WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, or SMS. It was announced by a much more effective way of communication. You see, it was announced by heaven. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus, which is Christ the Lord." Look carefully at the announcement. Behold, pay attention. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Those words, good tidings or good news, is actually just one word in Greek, known as the gospel. The gospel is the good news of great joy. And it shall be to all people. Everybody should celebrate. Today, most people in Singapore have some kind of celebration for Christmas. But heaven is saying, this is good news which shall be to all people, all the people of the world. What is this good news of great joy? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you, for your benefit, is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Why is it important that Jesus is born in the city of David? Just now the choir sang, "Come to Bethlehem." God already promised that Jesus would be born in the city of David years, decades, centuries before Christ was born. One of the young ladies this evening read from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Hundreds of years before Christ was born, God had already prophesied that Jesus would be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. The birth of Jesus Christ is not a fairy tale. The Bible is the single most reliable record that we can be confident of today. It is written over 1,500 years, and yet all of it is consistent. The best-selling book of all time, the most translated book of all time. If you want a statement about the Bible, this is a statement about the Bible. The Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies, and they claim to be divine rather than human in origin. The Old Testament is part of the Bible, and it was finished 450 years before Christ was born. Over 300 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus at his birth. Through his life, his death, and his resurrection, he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies that were prophesied and promised decades, centuries before his birth. This is divine fulfillment, not just by human origin. This is the city of David, known as Bethlehem. If you go to Bethlehem in the Holy Land today, you will see a small town on a ridge, 15 minutes drive from Jerusalem. Compared to Jerusalem, Jerusalem has really nice, magnificent buildings. Bethlehem is small, almost insignificant. It is the city of David because King David was born there. Before he became king, David was a shepherd boy. These are typical shepherd fields that you will see in Bethlehem even today. And at night, shepherds will watch over their flocks by night. In the city of David, at the first Christmas, shepherds were in the field watching over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord announced to them, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, for your benefit, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus, which is Christ, the promised one, the Lord. This good news of great joy is wrapped up in the birth of a promised Savior. A Savior saves us from something. What does Jesus save us from? The Bible says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You ask me, Pastor, can you explain to me this salvation from sin? The Bible tells us all of us are sinners. None of us are perfect. If I ask you, really, think in your own heart and mind, in your conscience of consciences tonight, is there anyone who is perfect? Anyone? Can any one of us claim perfection? The truth is, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. God is perfect. It is because of our imperfection, the Bible calls it sin, that there is a separation from us, man, and a perfect God. God, by definition, must be perfect. If God is not perfect, he would not be worth worshiping. He would not be God. Therefore, as a holy, righteous God, he cannot accept anything apart from perfection. For anything apart from perfection would be injustice. You see, sin must be punished. If someone killed my wife, I would want justice. You say, Pastor, I'm not a murderer. Yes, but you are not perfect. Imperfection requires consequence. Imperfection separates us from a relationship with a perfect God. And whatever good that we will do, whatever good we try to do, whatever good works that we try to build, still escapes perfection. By definition, a God who is perfect cannot accept the injustice of overlooking imperfection. Here comes Jesus. He's the Savior. He saves us from our sin. This is the beauty of God's love. He sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. A God who died for us, sacrificed his life for the punishment of our sin, took our place of punishment so that we who commit ourselves to Jesus as our Savior can be united in a relationship with a perfect God, not because we are perfect, but because justice has been served. Jesus has borne the consequence of our imperfection. This is a beautiful picture at Christmas. We talk about love. Christmas is a time of joy, peace, and love. Where did love come from? The theory of evolution, it necessitates competition, survival of the fittest. It cannot explain love. It is only a perfect God. The Bible says God is love. As it were, this God of love says, if you cannot solve the problem of your imperfection, if you cannot by your own good works overcome your imperfection, because by definition you are still imperfect, then I, the perfect God, in my love, I will provide the solution for you. He promised a Savior, and the Savior came, Jesus Christ, the promised Savior. He came and he died. He died to take the place that you and I should have taken. He took the consequences of our sin. And he says, come. Would you come? As the choir sang this evening, oh come. Come to Bethlehem. Come to the place where Jesus Christ was announced. Unto you, for your benefit, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is the promised Savior. There is no one else who can save. There is no other Savior who gave his life, his perfect life, in exchange for our imperfection. Salvation is found in one chosen promised Savior. Why? Pastor, why? Why can't many ways lead to heaven? Why can't there be anyone else? The passage gives us the answer. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That term, the Lord, is the New Testament equivalent of Yahweh, God Jehovah. Jesus is not an ordinary baby. He is God Himself. Jesus is God in the flesh. The God who left heaven's glory to come to be His own created and to take upon Himself the death that we should have taken. No one can be perfect except God Himself. And that is why there is no other way. There is no other Savior. The truth grips me that a perfect God came to take the place of our punishment. Let me ask you this question. How many of you would like to be a monkey? Anybody here? I don't want to be a human being. I want to be a monkey. Anybody? Nobody. Monkeys are mischievous creatures, right? A couple of years ago, my family was taking a walk in Pierce Reservoir, and my son was bringing along a bag of chips. He was eating chips. That was a bad idea, because a monkey ran up to my son, and he snatched his packet of chips, and the poor boy was so scared. And, you know, how about I offer you the chance to change from a human being to become a monkey? Anybody wants volunteers? No, nobody wants to be a monkey. You know, we have far more privileges than monkeys. It's not a perfect analogy, but if you think of Jesus Christ, God Himself, with all the privileges of the being of deity, with all of heaven's glory, with all of the eternal time and space that He does not have to give up, and He became His own creation. And that monkey illustration just begins the immensity of that thought. Why did God Himself have to come? Because a sinner cannot provide a solution for another sinner. This pastor cannot pay for your sin. I can't even pay for my own sin. All of my good works cannot reach God. The Savior of the world is not just a good human being. He's not just a good example. He is the perfect Son of God Himself. God who became man. This is good news. Good news of great joy. The promised Savior has come. God with us. And as if to emphasize that, Christmas has the name Christ. Christmas is celebrating Jesus Christ the Lord. The promised Savior has come, God with us. What happens next? What happens after the angels announce this? Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, peace among those whom He is pleased." At this moment, the multitude of heavenly hosts appears praising God. Because at the time of Jesus' birth, something happens in relation to God and something happens in relation to men. God, who designed the plan, receives glory in the highest. And men, peace, goodwill. Peace among those on whom He is pleased. We all want peace. In a world of conflict, we want peace. In a world of terrorism, we want peace. In a world of trouble, we want peace. I just preached at a combined camp, three churches in Malaysia. Some of my members told me, Pastor, don't go. KL has riots. I say, well, I'm in a different part of Malaysia, not in KL. I say, Pastor, don't go. You know the sea got problem. There's conflict between Malaysia and Singapore. I say, I'm on land, not on the sea. Everywhere you turn, if you've been observant on social media today, there's an example on the streets of a cyclist and a lorry. And the cyclist does something and the lorry does something. There is no peace. We want peace. Scripture tells us, peace on whom he is pleased. Peace on the person who rightly responds to the gospel message, to the gospel of good news. God made us with a choice. He didn't make us robots. You realize that all of us have a choice? God allows us free will. Would you choose? When the shepherds heard the message, how did they respond? How did they respond? They believed. And that's why they went to look for Jesus. That's why they went to look for this baby. That's why they went to worship him. Straits Times last year, Warren Fernandez, editor-in-chief, says, I was reminded of the poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow titled Christmas Bells. He wrote it in 1863 in the middle of the American Civil War, striking a note of optimism even amid those troubled times. I reproduce it here in the hope of offering some Yuletide perspective and perhaps even a little cheer. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. You want true peace? You want true justice? It's not going to be found in this earthly system. The God of perfection, he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. He brings peace. He saves us from our sin, unites us in a relationship with a perfect God. Forgiveness of sin, eternal relationship, holiness. Not because of us, but because of the perfect Savior who came and who died for us. Today, my family went to the Columbarium because today is the 19th year of the homegoing anniversary of my mother-in-law. Christmas is bittersweet for us. We remember the birth of Jesus Christ, but we also remember the homegoing of my mother-in-law. But there is joy in our hearts, in spite of the pain. Because my mother-in-law, she believed in Jesus as her Savior. She spent 2 years in hospital. Most of the time, our members who spend a few weeks in hospital really want to get out. But my mother-in-law spent 2 years. She had cancer. But through it, she had a favorite hymn. Her favorite hymn was, Thou in whose presence my soul doth delight, of whom in affliction I call. She believed in Jesus. She had peace in spite of her circumstance. Today, she's with God in an eternal relationship. Not because of her, but because of Jesus Christ, her Savior. Good news. Great joy. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go. Let us go. Even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Look at the shepherd's response. This is a responsible belief. The shepherds acted on their belief. They found the promised Savior. And the shepherds stand as examples for us. Examples of people who believe the message that the angels gave to them. Good news of great joy. And the result was they experienced Jesus Christ for themselves. The shepherds said, "Let's go and see." They believed. Some of you tonight may ask, "Pastor, what is belief? What is belief?" I thought I'd do a live demonstration to illustrate this concept so that you may not go away mistaken about the concept of belief. And tonight we have two friends to help us. I've never met them. I just asked Pastor for two volunteers. Before they come up, anyone else wants to volunteer since they were, you know, requested before? Anyone else wants to volunteer? No brave souls. Okay, we'll ask the two volunteers that were asked by Pastor to come up. Who are you? I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. Please come. Yes, we have a gentleman there and one there. Oh, very good. Both great young men. Please come. You weren't coerced to do this, huh? Pastor gave you a choice, right? Yeah. Come right here. Yeah. First of all, I want you to sign a legal disclaimer. Okay. I was a lawyer before, right? What's your name? Sorry. Isaac, I, Benedict, hereby agree that I voluntarily consent to come on stage to assist as a volunteer. I hereby declare I will hold the speaker and or the church free from any and all liability in all respects and assume all risks, whatever the danger. Can I? Okay, thank you. It takes some courage to come up here. They don't really know what they're going to do. And I've made them sign a legal disclaimer. I mean, come on. I guess you guys will hate me. You wouldn't want me to come again. Well, thank you for coming up, Benedict and Isaac. Appreciate it. Okay. Very good. Cannot go down already. Okay. What we'll have done, right, is you see a chair right there in the middle. Okay. One of you will carry the other. Who wants to carry? Oh, you carry. All right. Hey, give the man a big hand, man. Hey. So, Benedict. So Isaac will carry Benedict. Okay, here's the key. Isaac, you'll be blindfolded. Okay, Benedict will direct you. Okay? And then you walk across the stage and cross that chair and go to the other side. Again? Now, do you believe they can do it? Come on, do you believe they can do it? Yes? Yes, very good. Come on. Yeah. Just over a bit. Now, you believe, right? You say you believe. Now, who wants to take Isaac's place? You say you believe what? Anybody wants to take Isaac's place? Come on, quick. Nobody, yeah? Hey, you say you believe it. Just now you say you believe he can do it, right? Okay, well, let's try. Come, right here. Careful, I got chair. Hey, how come no chair? Okay, thank you very much. That's it. Thank you. Once again, give you guys a big hand. Did Benedict believe in Isaac? Yes or no? Yes or no? How do you know he believed in Isaac? He was willing to get up on Isaac's back. Although Isaac was blindfolded, not Isaac not knowing that the chair was not there. Isaac believed in Benedict. Because Isaac allowed himself to be blindfolded and allowed Benedict to get on his back and give him directions, not knowing the chair would not be there. I asked you if you believed. Everyone said, yeah, but then nobody wants to come up and take Isaac's place. Belief. Belief is not just saying. Belief is not just knowing. There are people here who are very familiar with the Christmas story. There are people sitting here who perhaps have heard about Jesus Christ many, many times. And you tell me, Pastor, I know. I come here once a year to hear the story. I know already. That's not belief. What is belief? Belief involves a decision. It involves a choice. It involves action. Genuine belief is an act of will, a choice, a decision, a choice that Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are responses today that may not be genuine belief. Some people hear the story of Christmas and they're very impressed. Wow, God loved the world. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, God loves me. Some people are very, very appreciative. Pastor, good story. I like the story. And that is not belief. Belief is when you call out to God, when you call out to Jesus Christ, and you call out to Him, and you say, God, I believe. Please be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Savior. My personal Savior. That is genuine belief. It involves a decision. Tonight, would you follow the examples of the shepherd? The shepherds didn't just believe. They started to publicize the good news. The wonder of the Savior cannot be contained within ourselves. Tonight, as I was singing the hymns, reading the scripture, my heart resounded with the praise of God that echoed the angels' glory to God in the highest. We cannot contain it. We just want to let others know. Christmas is not just about shopping. It's not just about food. It's not just about Disney. It is the announcement of good news of a special baby, a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the promised Savior. He is Christ, the Lord. Today, we glorify and praise God. The shepherds who responded in belief, praise God. And on this evening of praise, I challenge you to focus yourself on the true meaning of Christmas. Because Christmas is celebrating Jesus Christ, the Lord. The promised Savior has come. God with us. He is the reason for the season. Let us pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to ask you this question tonight. Do you believe? The shepherds believed. They acted on their belief. You know, faith is not just about a train ticket going to heaven. Say, oh, I prayed a prayer, I'm going to heaven. True belief involves a decision, an act of will, a change of life. Tonight, if you're sitting here and you're wondering, have I truly believed? I pray that you will respond to God tonight. Whosoever calls upon the name of God shall be saved. Would you call upon the name of Jesus, Savior, Christ, the promised one? Good news of great joy. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you want Him to save you. Tell Him you need Him. Accept His love. Tonight, if you're sitting here and say, Pastor, I already believe. Well, let me test that for you against your own heart. Belief is not just knowing. Belief is not just saying. Belief is action. It's this good news of great joy. Something you want to publicize by your life to your loved ones. Do you really believe? A few moments now. You make your decision. All of us commit our belief to God. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are for your love. When we could not solve the problem of our imperfection, you sent Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. He left heaven's glory. He became man. This is good news of great joy. Unto us, for our benefit, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ, God Himself. Father, we hear your word. allow all of us sitting here tonight to truly believe that we may have peace with you, the God who truly loves us. At this Christmas, truly be peace on earth for us, goodwill to men. Thank you, Father, for the joy that Christmas brings to our heart and for the peace that it brings to our soul. Because Jesus Christ is the reason for this season. In Jesus' name we pray.